Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. In the book of John in chapter 11 and verse 41, this is when Jesus, of course, raised Lazarus from the dead. And he is revealing in this prayer the benefit of the fact that the Lord hears him. But not only that, the Lord has always heard him and will hear him. And he says, because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So here is one of the qualities of our Lord. Here is one of the prayers of Jesus. And as we all know, Jesus was a praying man. And obviously what was included in his prayer was words of thanksgiving. Now, if you look in your Bible, in the book of Luke in chapter 9 and verse 16, when he fed the multitude, the Bible says, before he fed them, he blessed the bread. Of course, to bless the bread means to give thanks. And so I think we understand that when we pray to God and we offer thanks for food, we are thinking of the one who has bestowed blessings upon us. James 1:17 said, every good and perfect gift, it cometh from above, it cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so as a people of God, we are taught by God in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so here again is one of the qualities of Jesus, one of the traits that we see in him. And so because he is the one that we should follow, I want to talk to you this morning about growing in godly character. With that, I want to pause, of course, and acknowledge my gratitude to Almighty God. Of course, thankful for Jesus, God's indescribable gift that the Father sent him to be the Savior of the world. And so we have a perfect model that teaches us how we ought to live, that teaches us about the kind of character that we should have. And so when we see Jesus, of course, we should strive to be like him. And that's what true discipleship is all about. Jesus says, a disciple is not greater than his master, nor a servant like his Lord. It's enough that a disciple be like his master and a servant like his Lord. And one of the ways that we can develop the kind of godly character is to be like Jesus, of course, especially when it comes to Thanksgiving. So I'm thankful to God for all the blessings he provides, and I'm grateful for the wonderful example that we see in Jesus as our Savior, our Lord, our example, truly the one that we can and should follow. I'm grateful that all of you are here. Blessing to be together, to remember the Lord and what he's done for us. And so as I look out in this assembly, members from this good church and those who are visiting with us, we thank you. And of course, our new sister in Christ, we certainly welcome you, Medina, and glad that you're a part of us, and that we now can worship and work together with the same hope in mind that God has given to all of us. And so we rejoice even as the angels rejoice. And so this lesson this morning, of course, is designed for us to look more closely at our Lord. I've chosen this passage in the book of Colossians in chapter 3. This small text is going to be somewhat of a preview for us because we're about to conclude our study in the book of Philippians. Lord willing, we should finish that study on Wednesday night. And then, of course, my plan, unless there is something from the elders, to embark on a study of the book of Colossians. It's a very short book like the book of Philippians. We've studied the book of Ephesians, and then, of course, we've looked at the book of Philippians now where we are about to conclude. And this is going to be somewhat of an overview of the book of Colossians. When we think of the book of Ephesians has to do with the church of Jesus Christ. It focuses upon the body. We know the body is the church, and of course the church is the body, but the book of Colossians focuses upon not only the body of Christ, but more importantly, the head. And of course, Jesus Christ is the head of the body. The church is what he says in Colossians 1:18, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. And so what Paul, who writes to the church at Colossae, does, he focuses upon Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to do this morning, because I know that in this religious world in which we live, human philosophies often, they belittle Jesus Christ and his role. And of course, he is considered by some to simply be a myth. And by others, he is a great, but he is a fallible teacher. And some depict him as a person who is repressive and an individual, of course, who takes away from the happiness of people in life. And I know during this time of year, people are all geared up for December the 25th, and people celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. But you won't find that in the scriptures. And when Paul elevates Jesus Christ as a head, he helps us to understand by recognizing the benefit of listening to what God has to say rather than all the philosophies in the world. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. In him, that is in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And so he talks about the completeness that we find in Jesus Christ. And the point is that real meaning and fulfillment in life will not be found in human philosophies, but only in Jesus Christ. And then he tells us how to get into that relationship. He says that we will circumcise, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good cause, the conscience, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. He uses that Old Testament type. Like God first gave that command to circumcise to Abraham. Then he gave it to Moses. So throughout other dispensations, God used circumcision, but now it's a spiritual circumcision. And he tells us what that is and how we identify as the people of God. He says in verse 12 of chapter 2, buried with him in baptism, which you also will raise with him through faith in the working of God. Now, while we've got a lot of folks today who claim to have faith in Jesus Christ, they don't understand how we are truly the people of God by understanding that we become children of God by being buried with him in baptism and being raised to walk in newness of life. He says in verse 13, you were made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. It tells us what the benefits of obeying the gospel means. We are buried with him in baptism. We obey his commands. We're raised to walk in newness of life. We have the forgiveness of sins. And Paul would say in another place, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And now because of things becoming new, I know we've got a chapter break here, but we know the chapter and break division were not in the original manuscripts, but a part of this letter then says, if then, chapter 3, verse 1, you were raised with Christ. The implication is you were buried with him, but now you are raised with him. And he talks about the importance of the mind being transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, you seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. You set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And so we're focusing upon Christ. We're focusing upon growing in godly character. And the example that we have is Jesus Christ. And so he goes on to talk about one must put off. One must kill the works of sin. Because we have been forgiven for our sins, we put to death our members, verse 5, which are on the earth. And he tells us what those are. And he goes on to talk about the disposition of the heart. In verse 8, you now must also put off all of these. And then, of course, he goes on to say in verse 10, because you have put on the old man, you put on the new man, rather, taking off the old man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. And that's why I want to pick up with verse 12 of our text, which begins with the word therefore. And so we're talking about growing in godly character. The context, what I want us to do is look back at verse 10, because verse 10 helps us to understand what the Colossians had put on. They had put on the new man. And that's exactly what happens with you and I. We put on the new man, and we are now going to look at the character of this new man as we focus upon our head. He tells us, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. He's talking about these people who are chosen by God, not indiscriminately, because God is not a respecter of person, but he's talking about the chosen one. Because they have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the elect one, they call holy and beloved because they are children of God. And he goes on to list five what you call Christian graces. He says you put on tender mercies and kindness and humility and meekness and long-suffering. You should see this in the life of a Christian. He says, notice in verse 13, he says bearing with one another or forbearing one another. It's the same thing as long-suffering. He's talking about the idea of the faults of others being manifested in such a way, a willingness to forgive them just as God has forgiven us. Forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also do. Now, I know the word must is italicized. It was added because of emphasis in the New King James Version. But he tells us the importance of us forgiving others. The idea is that we should be willing to follow the example of Jesus Christ in forgiving those who have offended us. Look at verse 14. But above all these things, he says, you put on love, which he calls the bond of perfection. Now, the King James Version used the word charity. It's from the same Greek word, love, charity. The word here is agape, which means love that is prompted by genuine interest in another. We're talking about Jesus Christ. We're talking about our example and how we ought to conform to this godly character. He says that we ought to love one another. It's manifested in a willingness to contribute to the other's welfare. And above all these things means that love is more important than all the other things that were mentioned earlier. And of course, this agrees with what 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says. Love never fails. And so it's called the bond of perfection simply because it will make a perfect bond between brethren. We're talking about unity here. And this is what I want us to do, folks. I want us to look at what we're talking about here. We're talking about the nature of this new man. We're talking about the character of this new man. And of course, this text also talks about the actions of the new man. And the actions of the new man, listen very carefully, folks. He says the actions of the new man, you're going to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, again, it's my intention to study this book. I want us to recall what we're talking about. But what I want us to go back and focus on is verse 15. Look at what verse 15 says. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. And he says to be thankful. The peace of God, of course, would be that calmness of mind that is provided by God to rule in our hearts. And it means to be of such a state of mind that it, of course, helps us to be able to understand that such blessedness with God is enough to cause us to be thankful. And I know that this coming Thursday is Thanksgiving. And part of the reason why this lesson this morning. Remember where we begin. Jesus began by thanking the Father. He said the Father always hears him. And I can tell you that if you're a child of God, now we have access to the Father. I know a lot of people treat God like a band-aid. The only time they want to talk to God is when they want something or when they hurt him. But Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 tells me that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. I go back to the book of Colossians in chapter 2, verse 9. Look at, you are complete in him. And because we are complete in him, when we talk to God and we pray to God and we ask God, let me tell you what, folks, a part of our prayers as we follow the example of Jesus Christ is to be thankful. Now, while Thanksgiving looms before us, this coming Thursday, there are many traditions, I know, with Thanksgiving. I think one of the first things come to mind is during Thanksgiving, folks eat turkey. Why? I don't know. It's just connected with Thanksgiving. And I know Thanksgiving is oftentimes said to be the most traveling day of all the year. People reserve, you know, December for staying home with family. But Thanksgiving, people travel to other places. I mean, when we were, you know, younger, when the girls went home, we would go visit family, but we would want to be home for Thanksgiving. I mean, for the holidays in December. But people visit during Thanksgiving. And if you're planning on visiting during that time, and I understand we've got some folks who are out of town now. You know, Dustin's out of town traveling. But folks travel during Thanksgiving. And I know Thanksgiving oftentimes what is common, people watch football. I mean, I know a lot of guys watch football. I know a lot of ladies watch football. Football is Thanksgiving, they kind of go together. And I know something else that is with Thanksgiving. I know it kind of kicks off the shopping, but you know, it just gets earlier and earlier. And you see people with holiday lights and all kind of things, and people broadcasting Black Friday and all kind of things. People shopping is, you know, related with Thanksgiving. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, I know some families that have had some funerals this year. I know of some who are in assisted living. I know some who are in nursing homes. I know of some who have been diagnosed with cancer. I know of some who have had surgery. There are those that we know, you may know, who have been affected by hurricanes, floods. I know the grief, the loneliness associated with those kind of things. Some have met tragedy. I know some who have lost jobs this year. I know of some congregations who have had trouble this year. I know tragedy has visited some. I know that there is violence in the daily news as it continues to increase everywhere. Almost every day you hear about someone who has lost their life or their life has been taken away from them. And so to be thankful, well, to be thankful for what? Well, our passage today, I think, reminds us to be thankful for everything. This text was written by the Apostle Paul, just as we look at the Philippian letter. They call prison epistles, that is the book of Ephesians and Philippians, as well as Colossians. They're filled with thoughts of thankfulness and joy. Now, Paul was not a miserable person, but this was not a person who felt that life cheated him either. This was not someone who saw only the bad breaks in life. Paul says, be thankful. Be thankful in the midst of a storm. Be thankful in the pandemic. Be thankful when things are not as you would want them to be. And how spoiled we must be if we can only be thankful when everything's going all right. And so I just want to take this opportunity, especially because this week is coming up, things we should be thankful. I want us to add this to our own list. As we count our blessings, three things I want us to add to our list. Number one, I want us to recognize that, first of all, you're still here. I mean, whether you're a Christian or not, you're still here. And so we need to be thankful. Maybe we got sick. Maybe some of the things I mentioned affected us. You know, you're still here. Maybe things have been inside out for you. You're still here. Maybe it's been tough with your budget. Maybe you've got too much month at the end of your money. And some people have financial problems, but you're still here. You know, the Bible tells us a live dog is better than a dead lion, Solomon says. But it's easy to think, yeah, I'm still here, but so are some of the troubles that I have. I still have money problems, lots of problems. But the fact is, folks, you're still here. But I'm going to tell you something else, folks. Sin is still here, but so is the Lord. And I tell you what you can do. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can be connected to the Lord. You can be buried with him in baptism. And I tell you what that does. It opens up a new door of opportunities because you can come together and you can worship. You can be together with God's people. You can pray. You can do good. And God has kept you here for a reason. And I know sometimes aged members, they get older, and I've heard them say, I don't know why I'm here. You're here for a purpose, and thank God for that. Because you serve as examples. Because if you are aged, and maybe you've lost a loved one, let me tell you what, you still may be a grandfather or a grandmother. You may be a mother. You may be a dad. You may be a son or daughter. You are living right now, and you need to be thankful for that. Because every breath we take comes from God. Add that to your list. And let me tell you what the second thing is, we're part of the kingdom. Now, I know people don't understand the kingdom. I know the Jews didn't. I know the premillennialists don't understand the kingdom. But the kingdom is the sovereign rule of God. Not only is it representative of God's people, the church, but it's also representative of the Lord that we have submitted our will to him. And so we're told, don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about your life. Why do you worry? Oh, ye little faith. And you know what the antidote to worry and anxiety is? Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, we're not talking about the church here. We're talking about the sovereign rule of God. We're a part of the amazing kingdom of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing can destroy this kingdom. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on in this world. And you and I know kingdoms come and go. Sicknesses and diseases come. But God's kingdom remains, and we are a part of that. We are a part of something external, eternal. We're part of something that is big and powerful. And let me tell you what, folks, God loves his kingdom. And sometimes we view the kingdom through the walls of a church building. But that's too limited of a view, folks. God's kingdom is global. And I'm going to tell you what, folks, there are people in Norway, there are people in the Philippines, there are people in Africa, there are people in America and Europe and all over this world. And there are so many Christians that no one place could hold all of us. We're talking about the universal church. And great things are being done every single day. Lives are changing. The word of God is being sent out worldwide, and yet even among us. And to just think, just this past Friday morning, we have a new sister who is a part of the kingdom. And just to think, folks, that you are part of it. You help make things possible. You are part of this amazing fellowship. Something that is so large and something that is so divine. And in spite of all the bad news and all the things that's going on in the world, let me tell you what, folks, the Lord has not abdicated his rule. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. It doesn't matter who's in the government mansion. It doesn't matter what the world powers are doing, but our Lord's kingdom will stand. And so we're still praying. We're still worshiping. And yes, preachers have to do what they're supposed to do. They've got to do Bible lessons and sermons. We still have to check on members. Elders still have to elder, and deacons still have to deacon. And you know what members have to do? Members have to do what members do with service. And what we do is we serve. We get to serve the Lord. You add that to your list. I am a servant of the Most High God. And sometimes things are not fully realized until they're taken away from us. And yes, we've had to make some adjustments, but that's okay. You know, the devil may be behind all the troubles, and I think he is. And a lot of people have simply given their will over to Satan. But you know what, folks? Let me tell you. We are a part of the Lord's kingdom. And so what that means is we're not hiding in the cave like Elijah. We're not wringing our hands in despair. I mean, onward we go, regardless of what pitfalls they may be. The Lord has been with us. The Lord's going to continue to be with us. Our faith is not shaken. Our faith is not destroyed. Hope is not abandoned nor given up. And let me tell you what, folks, We are marching on to Zion. And a brother or sister we may lose along the way, but let me tell you what that does. It gives us the hope. And sometimes it's kind of like a jealousy because we want to be where they are. We want to be with the Lord. We are a part of the kingdom of God. You add that to your list when you thank God this week. And as the audience, as the article in the bulletin says, we don't just thank God for Thanksgiving. We thank him every single day. It's a part of our prayers to God. And last but not least, let me tell you what, folks, you thank God because he's opened up your eyes. And I'm talking about the eyes of our understanding. Because we can see how wonderful life really is. We have learned how valuable worship services are. Much more than just getting information, but it's actually being able to listen to the word of God, being taught, understanding what it means, and being able to make the proper application to our lives so that the word of God becomes living and active in our lives. And so we know the church is not a building. We know that the church are the people of God. And what that does for us is it provides opportunities for us. We know that the church is a family. It's made up of individual people with different challenges. And it allows us not only to worship together, but it allows us to be able to serve. Not only to serve the Lord, but to serve each other. It causes us, folks, to look for opportunities, for people that we know, for loved ones that we know, who are sometimes searching for the way. And so we look for those opportunities and we ask the Lord for those opportunities and we thank the Lord for those opportunities. When we find somebody who simply wants to listen and we get to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we learn how to adjust. We learn how to make changes. Storms, of course, can force a person to do things that they don't want to do. But let me tell you what, folks. Things have worked out for the Lord's people here at Prudent Logan. Just look around you. They may be few, but I'm going to tell you what, folks. The Lord has people at this place. And he's opened our eyes. That even though there may be a few of us, folks, let me tell you what. Greater is he that is with us than all of those that are out in the world. So you add that to your list of the things that you thank God for. And last but not least, folks, we're heaven bound. If we remain faithful to the Lord, we are heaven bound. This is the character of the man of God, the woman of God. We're trying to imitate our Lord. And when we pray to God, Thanksgiving should always be on our lips and in our prayers. And so let's continue to look for ways that we might encourage. Just think about this last year as it comes to a close. We've had a gospel meeting. We've had our VBS. There have been several that the Lord has allowed us to witness who have turned to the Lord, become Christians, obey the gospel. Folks visit with us. There are ways in which we can encourage. There are ways in which we can help one another. There are ways in which we can lift hearts up. And even though we may not hug one another or we may not give one another, as Paul would say in Romans 16, greet one another with a hope, we can at least do a fist bump. Or we can look one another in the eye and we can say, I'm glad you're here. And we can acknowledge one another. And so when you're counting your blessings, folks, you add all this to your list. And you thank God for his promises. And you thank God for the hope that he's given us. And I thank God that when we get there, some of the things that we deal with here, we won't have to deal with there. And so Thanksgiving, yes. And this is just a part of it. the character of the man or the woman of God and how they form that godly character. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, let me tell you what you're missing out on. The greatest blessing that there are in this world. The blessing, first of all and foremost, of the forgiveness that comes through our Lord's mercy and grace extended to all mankind. Simply by hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of sins, confessing Jesus Christ with the mouth, and being buried with him in baptism. Those who are young, those who are old and in between, the gospel call goes out to all men. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, I want to extend the Lord's invitation. If you're a child of God, maybe you've forgotten that you were buried with him in baptism. Maybe you've forgotten how blessed you really are. If you've taken the Lord and you've taken those blessings for granted, come back to the Lord. And in the song that we're about to sing, I'll Fly Away, thank God for that. And that will be ready when the Lord does come so we can go back with him. If you're here, you need to respond to the gospel. Please come. While together, we stand and sing.
So glad.